Okay, well, we're going to do part two of the story of Gideon, but before I even recap from 2 weeks ago, part one, I want us to have a look at a video. And this is a video that's kind of become pretty well known, really, or just a clip of the Great British Bake Off, and it was a clip of the final. If you're listening to this podcast, separately, then you can listen to this and watch this video on YouTube, and the link is in the notes. Okay, so if you look at the notes and click on the link, then you'll be able to see the video that we're just about to show now. So, Helen, over to you.
The winner of the 2015 Great British Bake Off is... Nadia.
Well done, Nadia.
Thank you so much.
You're the winner of the Great British Bake Off.
And you've got this.
Nadia has brought something special to the bake-off. Her ideas, her flair, her emotion, her passion were all in her bakes. She just nailed the whole final, and that was the best-tasting final we've ever had.
She's never been the winner before, has she?
She is now, though.
She is now.
Yeah.
I am never, ever going to put boundaries on myself ever again. I'm never going to say, I can't do it. I'm never going to say, maybe... I'm never going to say I don't think I can. I can, and I will.
I'm really proud of Nadia. So not confident to start with. And over the weeks, she's grown and grown and learned herself that she can do it. And when she came into the final today, she was nervous, but she had the sort of look that I'm going to do it. And she did. Sheer perfection. And I enjoyed every minute.
Well, dry your eyes now. Ah, dear. I wanted to show you that video. I mean, I'm a great fan of the Great British Bake Off. And when I watched that, and I watched it, and I saw her say about it, I'm never again going to say I can't do it. Or maybe... It made me realise, as she was just communicating everything I feel about us at the moment, of where I feel God is leading us, you know, this whole desire of, I can, I will, not maybe, but I will do this, and I'll not put boundaries around myself. And I was just so moved by what Nadia, was able to achieve. Remember, Mary Berry said, at the beginning, she just felt like she couldn't do this. And yet, at the end, look what she's achieved. And sometimes we just don't know what we are capable of, until we really step out on these things. 2 weeks ago, we started the story of Gideon. And I suspect Gideon felt a little bit like Nadia did, when God first called him. And that's what we concentrated on. 2 weeks ago, we concentrated on the call of Gideon, and the angel came to him and said, mighty warrior. And there's no way, I'm sure, Gideon felt that he was a mighty warrior, but that's what God saw. And I encouraged us all, didn't I? We need to take time and look in the mirror and try to see yourself as God sees you, I even encourage you to look eyeball to eyeball in the mirror and say, I am a child of God, I'm a mighty warrior. And I don't know, how many did that? I'm just curious. No, that was... But, you know, we do need to see ourselves as God sees us. And I then went on to explain how Gideon dipped his toes in the water. And we've been sharing a lot recently about dipping our toes in the water. And when we do that, we often need that reassurance from God. And that's what I felt I learned from the story of Gideon, the first part, how he went about, you know, dipping his toes in the water, but really keeping himself strong. You know, one of the things he wanted to know is he absolutely wanted to know that it was God that was speaking to him, not just some crazy voice that he was hearing in the back of his mind, you know. But and once he knew it was God... And I know this is true of myself, and hopefully you know it's true of yourselves. Once you're really convinced it's God speaking to you, that really energizes your faith, and you feel like you really can move mountains when you absolutely know it's God. And Gideon, once he was convinced, you know, he actually mobilized, you know, 32,000 soldiers. He was really up for it. He was really ready to go. And, you know, so you can imagine he was poised to go. And now that horrible feeling gripped him like often it grips us. You know, oh, my goodness me, what have I said yes to? So he was ready, had his army, and suddenly, oh, no. And he just wanted God to reassure him again. Yeah, it's normal. Absolutely normal. Nothing wrong with going back to God, because he did this incredible test with the fleece, and God reassured him, and again, you know, he came back into a place of faith. But sometimes the only real way of knowing, and this was the last point from 2 weeks ago, was Gideon had to go into the camp. We didn't read that part of the story, you know, I just shared it, but you know, he had to go into the camp, and God told, listen to what the soldiers are saying, the Midianite soldiers. And the soldiers had dreams of, you know, all sorts of catastrophes happening and them getting destroyed, and Gideon knew that God was going to be with him. And sometimes, you know, part of dipping your toes in the water is you've just got to do it. You've just got to say yes, you know, with all the fear that might be surrounding you, but you've just got to go for it. And you know, as you do that first step and you really go for it, you know, God really helps you. And perhaps you experience a little bit of what Nadia, I think, you know, there must be a mistake, you know, can't believe I've won this. But, you know, she had, because she, you know, she took the first step, she entered the competition, and goodness me, you know, she won. Anyway, we're going to pick up the story now. And so Gideon has his 32,000 soldiers. He's done all the interesting exercise with the... with the fleece and everything like that. And we're going to read in Judges chapter 7, verses 1 to 8 and 15 to 22. Okay, I'm just missing little bits out just for the sake of time. So Judges chapter 7, verse 1. So Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up and went as far as the spring of Harod. You didn't know there was a Harod in the Bible, did you? But there we go. And the armies of Midian camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they save themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who are willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. And when Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup the water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns and the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. Okay, let's flick over to verse 15, and we've just had the story of him going into the camp and listening, okay? So we'll pick up from there. And when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord, and then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes." He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. And then he said to them, "Keep your eyes on me, and when I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. And as soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." It was just after midnight, and after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. And suddenly they blew their ram's horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars, and they held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands. And they all shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places as far away as Beth Shittah near Zerarah and to the border of Abel Meholah near Tabath. Okay, let's stop there. It's a great story. Supernatural victory, these kind of things I really enjoy. And this week I'm calling the topic Go in the Strength You Have. Okay, go in the strength you have. And this is what God told Gideon to do. But what is the strength we have? And you guessed it, we've got 3 points. And there's three things I want to draw out in terms of the strength that Gideon had. He had his own strength, he had the strength of those who were with him, and he had the strength of God. So let's look at these three. So, your own strength. Have you ever had it drummed into you as a Christian? Don't do things in your own strength. Who's ever had, you know, that kind of thing drummed into you? Don't do things in your own strength. You know, I certainly have. And it's really interesting, isn't it, really? Because, you know, here, you know, God is saying to Gideon, well, go in the strength you have. So is going in the strength you have and not doing things in your own strength, you know, is that a bit of a contradiction? Well, I've really been thinking about this, and I don't think, actually, it's a contradiction at all, because the strength you have is not just your own strength. It's like I said, it's also the strength of those around you, and it's the strength of God with you. And we're going to be looking at those other two in just a moment. But let's think about this going in your own strength. I really believe you shouldn't actually suppress your own strength. Now, this might be kind of new radical teaching, I don't know. But I just feel we shouldn't suppress our own strength. You know, we shouldn't have this, I must decrease, he must increase attitude in terms of our strength. You know, we often get that scripture quoted, don't we? But think about that scripture. That was John the Baptist talking to Jesus, saying, "I must decrease, you must increase." He's talking about his ministry. The ministry of John needed to decrease in order for the ministry of Jesus to increase and God's glory be shone all around the earth. You know, he wasn't talking about his strength. And the things we do should never be about our ministry. You know, everything we do should always be about the glory of God. But we do have a strength. It's not about suppressing our strength, it's about channeling our strength. Channeling our strength into the purposes that God has called you to do, so that you can achieve great things and the kingdom of God can be extended. We need to channel our strength. We often focus in on our weaknesses. But like I said last time, we need to remind ourselves that God has made us exactly how he intended. You know, God did not make any mistakes in the design of you. You know, you are how God wants you to be. And that strengthens and weaknesses. You know, your weaknesses are important because it says you put your weaknesses alongside other people's strengths. You know, incredible things are able to, you know, able to be achieved. The trouble is, we focus so much on our weaknesses. We focus so much on what we think we're not capable of. And yet, really, we don't really know what we are capable of. I had an email this week, you know, somebody who works for me forwarded me this email saying, oh, you know, Martin, who's my boss, therefore his boss too, really, but this guy works for me, said, oh, I've been asked to be on this panel. And, you know, I don't know that I'm really the right person to do this. So I emailed him back, says, oh, don't worry. You know, Martin loves kicking people into their, you know, outside of their comfort zones. You really will be all right. My experience of panels is actually they're not as bad as you might feel they are. I know you're not really in control. You know, you feel like you're not in control because it's a panel, but actually you usually know what the questions are going to be, and you're often you can bounce off each other. I know you'll be fine. You know what? I think you don't know how good you are, is what I said to him. And he came back and said, thank you. And I copied my message to Martin. He said, thank you too. You know, because I know that he's capable. But instinctively, we cringe back, don't we? We think, oh no, I can't do this. And sometimes you just need somebody to say, yes, you can. And for them to believe that they can. And they can do these things. You know, sometimes we have to take risks in order to discover what we are capable of. I wonder what Nadia thought, when she filled in that application to enter the Bake Off. You know, will I even get into the show? Can I really do this? But the fact that she stepped out and took that first step, she ended up winning it. You know, you don't know sometimes what you are capable of until you really step out. One of my many favourite scriptures in Isaiah 54, because it's a scripture that's been very dear to me and was spoken over my own life many, many years ago. Isaiah 54:2, enlarge the place of your tent, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Now, I've preached on this many times. This is about, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone. I believe God wants us to, you know, to be stepping out of our comfort zones regularly. You know, because that's how we discover ourselves. It's how we become strong. It's how we become bold. Yes, it's uncomfortable. By definition, it's uncomfortable because you are outside your comfort zone. But it truly, truly, truly is how you grow. If you always stay in your comfort zone, the amount of growth you'll experience will be minimal. It will be. I'm not saying you'll never grow, but it'll be very slow and very minimal. You grow truly by stepping out and feeling uncomfortable. And I want to encourage us all, you know, that we need to do that. You know, had Gideon not responded when God said, mighty man of God, you know, and not responded to do the things he did, well, I wonder what would happen to that nation. You know, that nation needed saving. And God had called Gideon to save that nation. Who knows what or who God wants to put alongside you or bring into your life for you to make a supernatural difference into a situation or into a person. You know, you don't know, but God has called each one of us. And the question is, will we have the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to recognize it? And that's the kind of thing that Alison was sharing, you know, a few weeks ago. And then will we have the boldness of Gideon to see ourselves as God sees us, that we actually do what God is calling us to do and have the difference in the situations and the lives of people that God brings our way. We have to be bold. You know, we might feel very content in what we do today. And contentment's a lovely thing. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's the Bible. But, you know, there's a sense in which sometimes we can become content and lazy. Content and just stay as I am because I don't want things to change. But I don't believe that's what God meant when he brought the word contentment. It's being content moving forward into the things of God. Even if you feel that little bit of discomfort, you know, you can still be content. So go in your own strength. It's really okay to have your strength, but you've got to channel it into the things of God. But note, it has to be your strength and not someone else's strength. It's very easy to, you know, want to be copycats. You know, we look in awe at other people, what other people can do. Think, oh, I wish I was like so-and-so. Oh, they're so much more gifted than me. They speak so much better than me. They sing much better than me. They play much better. You know, oh, everybody. So, before you know it, you're kind of at the bottom of the pile. That's where you've put yourself. But, you are who you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in, just how God wants you to be. And just like, when David came to fight Goliath and, tried to put on Saul's armour, it was a disaster. He probably couldn't move around. He certainly couldn't swing his arms. It was completely inappropriate. David wasn't Saul. David was David. David was at that time a shepherd, but a shepherd who was able to, defeat lions and bears. And so what did David do? He went in his strength, not try and masquerade as Saul. And when he went in his strength and with God, he was able to defeat an incredible giant. And, and that's how we need to be. We all have different strengths, different gifts, and we have different weaknesses. I love the variety. I know I repeat myself a lot, but this is a wonderful church, and I love the variety that we have in this church, the different gifts and the strengths and the weaknesses. And it's when we all work together, we encourage each other's strengths and we can cover each other's weaknesses and flaws. It's as we work together that, we're able to achieve, mighty things for the kingdom of God. It's oneness, not sameness. I've said that many times. It's oneness. It's working together with one heart and vision and spirit as we work together. We don't have to all be the same. Oscar Wilde said this. This is a lovely little quote from Oscar Wilde. He said, "Be yourself. Everyone else is taken." Like that. Be yourself. Everyone else is taken. It's true. It could be more true. Be yourself. Everyone else is taken. The great thing about this story is, when Gideon was obedient to God, he discovered himself. He discovered the strength that he had. And my prayer and my faith and my hope is as we step up to this, dipping our toes in the water, as we step up and listen to what God says to us and we have the boldness to go for these things, we will just start to really discover who we are, and we become bold and we become strong in God. Of course, if Gideon had only gone in his own strength, just his own strength, then he would have got himself into a real, real mess. Because actually, Gideon had 300 soldiers with him. So let's have a look at this. Now, this is a fascinating story. And, there's been loads and loads of study and preaching and debate over, the difference between the scoopers the scooping and the dunking. Okay, those who kind of scooped the water in their hand and drank it like that. And those who, got down on their knees and dunked their head in the water and drank it that way. And, lots have been preached about the significance of this. Now, who would like to suggest, what is the significance between the dunkers and the scoopers? Any thoughts? And Sarah can't answer this because she knows the answer, because she happened to be around when I shared it. I'll tell you the answer, shall I? Well, I'll tell you what a lot of people say is the answer, and you read this all the time. A lot of people will say, well, God chose the 300 scoopers, okay? And he chose the 300 scoopers because they stayed alert. They were like this, and they could look around, and they could be ready for battle, and that's exactly the kind of the people God wanted. Those who just dunked their head in the water, they're not the kind of people God's going to use. They just off they went. Well, maybe there's some truth in that, but really we're missing the point. And the point is this: God chose the 300. That's the point. It was God's choice. He could have just chosen, he could have divided two groups into left-handed people and right-handed people, and of course he would have chosen the left-handed people, but because that's a given. But it could have been as simple as that. It could have been as simple as that. The key is God chose the people that were to go and walk and fight alongside Gideon. And I just think this is so important. You know, it is always God who joins and God who moves people on. This is right at the heart of covenant. You know, this is what we are all about. You know, that we are joined together because it's God's will. You know, this is what God wanted. You know, Gideon wasn't successful because he had 300 people with him. He was successful because he had the right 300 people with him. It was not about numbers. It was about God's divine choice of who should be with him. God's way. This was really interesting. There's a stark contrast to this in my Bible reading through the Bible. You know, I mean, to Saul and David and this at the moment. And I read this in 1 Samuel 14, verse 52. And it said this: "There was hard fighting against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he attached him to himself." You know, you can just imagine, this is what Saul was doing. Saul was a very insecure, not walking with God type person. And so as soon as he saw someone, "Oh, he's a strong fighter, I'll have him. Oh, he's a valiant man, I'll have him." And he just cherry picked all the strong, valiant people. And, you know, that's not what it was about at all. If you look at David, you know, David had all sorts of riffraff and goodness knows problem people. It's all about what God wants, who God joins to you. And for Gideon, he had the right 300 people. You know, we need each other, don't we? We need each other. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us this. It says, you know, we can't say to ourselves, "I'm not needed." Neither can we say to each other, "I don't need you." The truth is, God joins us, and it's in our togetherness. It's in our togetherness that great things happen. So, you know, we encourage each other, we help each other. When we fall down, we cover each other's weaknesses, and we benefit from each other's strength. You know, you, every one of you here, you know, you're my 300 army. You are. You know, you are my 300 army. I can't do what God has called me to do and succeed without my 300 army. And neither can you succeed, you know, without me and with each other. We need each other. And it's a divine purpose of God. You know, God doesn't want us gallivanting off doing our own thing, and God, neither does he want, you know, to create some sort of mega church of whatever size. You know, we are the 300. Like in other places where God is really moving, that's their 300. You know, we have to be true to ourselves. Gideon had to step out of his comfort zone, and he had to go in the strength, his own strength, but he had to go with 300 people that God divinely joined to him. Lastly, we need to go in the strength of God. You know, there are loads of great Bible stories, aren't there, where God does miraculous victories. I mean, they're scattered all throughout the Bible. And we read one a few weeks ago when the children of Israel walked around the walls of Jericho 13 times, and eventually when they shouted and cheered before God, you know, those walls came tumbling down. That was a supernatural victory. And this is another supernatural victory. You know, there was no way this 300 army people of, you know, this army of 300 people were ever going to defeat the Midianites. They were outnumbered 450-1. There was about 135,000 Midianite soldiers. If you read in chapter 8, 135,000. Do your maths. We often do our maths in my preaching, don't we? If you do your maths, that's around about 450-1 thereabouts. That's not great odds for a bloody battle, as I'm sure it would have been back in those days. They were completely outnumbered, and yet, you know, they fought in the power of God, and they won a crazy victory. I mean, God did it all. They didn't hardly have to do anything. You know, they just turned in on themselves, and they defeated each other, and then scarpered. You know, I mean, it's amazing what you can do, you know, when you are with God. You know, in the same way as the walls of Jericho miraculously came tumbling down, you know, the same way here, it was another miraculous victory. The battle was won by the power of God. And whatever we do as a church, you know, whatever battles we face as a church, or whatever battles we face as individuals in our families, in our relationships, at work or school, you know, when we're facing challenges, we need the power of God, you know, to work in these things, you know, to bring down the strongholds, to overcome some of our fears. You know, we need the power of God. I long to see our church grow, don't you? Or I hope you do. I long to see our church grow. And I'm really not after a mega church, incidentally. And I say that truthfully, not because I don't believe we could ever be a mega church, because if it's God's will, we would be. But actually, there's something that feels really special when we're not so big that we can no longer be a family. Because there's something in me that kind of feels that church is very much about family, and you kind of lose a little bit of that when you get too big. But that's not to put any boundaries around God. If, you know, if God wants us, you know, 50 times the size of what we are today, then God's will be done. But there's something really special to me about family. But I really, really do want this church to grow. But in order for it to grow, you know, we've got to be faithful and do everything that God tells us to do. You know, I need to do what God has called me to do as pastor of this church. And you need to do everything that God is calling you to do as part of the family of this church. As I say, it's in our togetherness. It's everybody, every single body playing their part, just like we did this morning. And it was beautiful this morning. I loved it. And that's what it's all about. You know, it won't happen if we're lazy. It won't happen if we kind of sit back and we pray and we're expecting God to do it all. It's not about God doing it all. It's about every one of us, you know. It's like Gideon did his part, the army did their part, and God did his part. And I will do my part, and you need to do your part, and God will wrap the whole thing up, and he'll do his part, and there'll be great miracles, and we'll see a change, and we will grow, because I'm sure it's God's will. And it, you know, and the people that God adds to us, it won't be out of the 31,700. Do your sums. It'll be out of 300. That's who God will add to us. And we can rejoice in that, because every time God adds according to his heart, we can rejoice. Because we are working according to the, you know, purposes and plans of God. This is an interesting scripture, you see, because, you know, our strength, what is the strength that we have? The strength we have is my own strength, the strength of those who are around us, and the strength of God. All three together. You know, that is the strength we have. And there's this great scripture, isn't there, that we often, you know, you often use in terms of marriage and things like this, you know, a three-cord rope. It says here, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. But, you know, I kind of feel that triple braided cord is the strength that we have. You know, it's you being you as an individual. It's us being us as the family of God. And it's being totally infused with God in everything that we do. That's the three cord, you know, three braided cords that will never be broken. As we work with your own strength, everybody else playing their part, and with God, we'll achieve great things. I don't know how many read the UCB yesterday. I thought that was really interesting in the light of a lot of what we've been sharing. I'll just read a little bit about it. It caught my attention because it says going out on a limb. I thought, oh, that looks interesting. And it was a scripture out of Luke. It says, risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed. And just picking halfway up, it's halfway down, it says, the Bible says, if you wait for the perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Just pause there for a moment. If you wait for the perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. That's how often many of us kind of, you know, weave our way out of doing things. You know, this kind of God, you know, God's speaking to you, but you tell yourself, but the time's not quite right. The conditions not quite right. You know, when this happens and when that happens and when this is lined up and when that's lined up and when that's lined up, then I'll know that's when I've got to do it. And that's not to say that sometimes that's exactly right, because sometimes, you know, the timing is absolutely critical and certain things do need to be in place. But come on, how many of us have kind of used that as a way of just putting it off, just putting it off, just putting it off, because, you know, you're quite... It's more about you not being ready than the time being right. And there's a big difference there, isn't there, between you being ready and the time being right. You know, sometimes you'll never be ready. Sometimes you'll never be ready, but you've just got to go for it. If you're waiting for this magical, the time is right and I'm ready, it's just never going to happen. You've got to step out. You've got to go for it. So the Bible says if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. That's Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4 in the Living Bible. Helen Keller said, security is mostly a superstition. It doesn't exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. If you want more than you've ever dreamed, you've got to go out on a limb. That's where the best fruit is. Acting in faith with no earthly guarantee what's on the other side means attempting something you couldn't possibly do unless God gave you the ability. John Walker says, faith grows when we take risks. Not just any kind of risks, but ones specifically directed by God. These God nudges, I love that phrase, these God nudges push us beyond the borders of our independent states into the promised land of life by faith. Don't keep waiting until you're ready. Don't keep waiting for the perfect conditions. When God speaks, have the boldness to say yes and go for it. So just to sum up, 2 weeks of Gideon, probably could have expanded it many more weeks, but take a look in the mirror. Take a look in the mirror and see yourself as God sees you, as a mighty, valiant warrior of God who can do mighty things for him if you allow him to do so. Step outside of your comfort zone. I believe that's where God wants you to be. It's certainly where you will find strength, and it's where you will grow. It's ultimately where you will discover yourself. And then go in the strength you have. Not just going in your own strength, but go in the strength you have alongside those that God has placed with you, and make sure you go with God's strength, because with God, and together we can do anything. Amen.